want to talk to you real quickly from a series that the Lord birthed into my heart actually yesterday. And again, I thank God for our graphic designer, Pastor Grayson, that she found out about this series at 1 o'clock in the morning. Sister Alicia got in touch with her, and next thing I know, I had a flyer. I bless God for teamwork. Amen. They knew I was in trouble. They knew we had some things going on, and you still see the flyer today, and we bless God for that. I want to talk to you from this sermon series entitled The Crossroads. After a week and weekend that has ended with more deaths, homecomings, homegoings, and funerals than we care to think of, after hearing that in Brooklyn, New York, a young man was killed in McDonald's, an employee of McDonald's was killed over a menial dispute over cold fries. While watching the COVID virus regain its strength, after for only a brief moment of calm, many have accepted the fact that this virus isn't going anywhere, and so mask, booster shots, and fist bumps over handshakes is now the new normal. In a time when, if we cut on the news, all we see is war in this country, war in that country, mass school shootings, vigilante attacks on races of people in the local grocery stores, and young people seemingly not able to settle their disagreements without fatal gunplay. Our economy is again tanking. Inflation is going through the roof. Some families are having to pick between food and medicine. Senior citizens are dipping into retirement to eat and not for vacation. The suicide rate has increased. Overdosing is a new common way of leaving the world far too early, and the world's knowledge seems clueless in how we go about stopping this. Some of our young men want to be young women, and some of our young women are wanting to be young men. And in an attempt to explain this mindset, it ends up with being that they say that God has made a mistake. Many people in the church have no clue on how to deal with this situation. So instead of trying to witness to them and love them as Jesus would, we condemn them to hell without even trying to have a conversation. Media outlets and those who do not believe as we believe have committed war against us believers. We are now becoming the bullied. They make movies mocking our God. They have created Bibles that are contrary to what we believe, and songs and videos that stay in rotation mocking who and what we love. School systems and universities are becoming more of a hindrance than a help, with all of the madness that they subject our children to. And so now the family structure is being torn apart because of what some, not all, but a lot of teaching that is going on in the educational system. Not to mention churches aren't the churches now that they used to be. And don't get me wrong, I believe in progressing forward, but I also believe that in an effort to grow, we do not have to sell our souls. And there are a few things that we could learn from the old church. We don't love like we used to. We don't care like we used to. We don't pray like we used to. And we don't live like we used to. And as a consequence, the world doesn't trust us, doesn't fool with us, and little by little, we are losing our influence. I come to tell somebody in the building today that revival is needed, and it would do all of us some good to get back into the presence of the Lord. It is no longer enough, and it never was enough for us just to come to church. It is no longer enough, and it was never enough for us just to have a title. It is no longer enough, and it never was for us to have some type of auxiliary, lead some type of auxiliary, or be a big part of some type of auxiliary in the church, and thinking that that was what it was going to be that was going to save our soul, save our children, nor save our communities. It is imperative that we get back into the presence of the Lord. Now, with all that I've just mentioned, you would think that I would be standing up here today without hope. With all that I have mentioned, you would think that I would be a bit depressed and disgruntled. But I am here to tell you today that I am more confident than I have ever been in my life. And the reason that I still have hope, the reason I still have my joy, the reason this cold world hasn't broke me down is because I know that He lives. I believe the songwriter, is it anybody that understands what I'm saying today? I believe the songwriter said, because I know who holds my future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Is it anybody in the building today that's confident because he lives? Is it anybody in the building today that can say, with everything that's going on around me, I'm good, I'm solid, I'm going to make it through, not because I've got a crazy support system, not because I'm all that in a bag of chips, but I'm going to make it through the struggle simply on the strength that he lives. He lives. With everything that I just mentioned, God is still in control. The seasoned saints knew something when they said, God is still in the blessing business. Lord, have mercy. And I used to think those sayings was just cliche, and I used to think that it didn't make no sense, and how could you be saying something so crazy when so much hell is going on around us? But I had to grow up a little bit. I had to go through the things. I had to be tried by the fire. I had to go through a little hell and high water. I had to get one-on-one with temptation and tribulation. And I can stand here today and confidently declare that God is still in the blessing business. God is still on the throne. God still sits high, looks low, and nothing that comes up against us and nothing that we are going through has caught him by surprise, throws him off, or makes him uneasy. God is still. He's still God. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. I don't know. The last couple of weeks, I've just been thinking about God and thinking about Jesus and even stood up here earlier during the offering and the Lord put something on my heart to say, and it was just very simple. It said, bless his holy name. Could you just say that to yourself real quick? Bless his. And the only reason why you would say bless his holy name is because he's been a blessor to your life. You don't bless nobody who ain't blessed you. You don't lift up high nobody that ain't held you up high. You ain't got a whole lot of admiration for people who ain't been there for you. But when I look back over my life and I begin to look things over, Lord, have mercy, I can bless his holy name. Is there anybody in the building that can remember when you was going through hell and high water and there was nobody else that you could call? There was nobody else you could depend on. There was nobody else that would answer the phone, but God would show up right on the scene of your trials. God would show up right on the scene of your issues. God would show up right on the scene of your life. And not just would he show up, Lord, have mercy, but he'd show out, and you're here today on the strength that God is faithful. And I don't have a problem no matter where I'm at. I don't just say it in the church. I don't just say it at my house. I don't just say it at the other saint's house. I can be in the middle of Walmart, have a flashback of my crazy, and just scream out, bless his holy name. I can hear from one of my children that shouldn't have made it through some of the hell that they was going through, and bless his holy name. I can look at my wife who was on death's bed more times than I care to remember and say, bless his holy name. Lord, have mercy. You can shout for a basketball team. You better learn how to shout for a Savior. You understand what I'm saying to you? If you can shout for some people that you ain't never going to meet, ain't going to never help you out, ain't going to pay one bill, you better learn how to shout for the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You better learn how to shout for the bright and morning star. You better learn how to shout for the Prince of Peace, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily in the Valley. Somebody better talk to me in here. If you can shout for a human, you better learn how to lose your mind. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. He's good. Is it anybody in the building that agree with that? He's good. He's good. I just dare you to declare it, although he's good. Ain't nothing got to be no better, but he's good. The car ain't no newer, but he's good. The bank account is still the same. He's good. My kids are still true, but he's good. He's good. He's good despite me. He's good despite the situation. He's good despite what it is that we're going up against and what's coming up against. He's good. Lord, have mercy. Could it be? Lord, have mercy. With everything that I mentioned, I'm confident because God is, he's still in control. Watch this. He's still in control, but I want you to understand something. Because he is still in control, that does not leave us believers void of responsibility. It doesn't leave us void of responsibilities. In fact, as Christians, we still have a mandate. Amen. And watch this. We have a mandate as well as an expectation. Watch this. To set the stage for how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. He's still in control, you understand, but it's our responsibility, and we have an expectation to set the stage the way it's supposed to be. Could it be that this world has gotten so far out of alignment simply because the church has gotten so far out of alignment with God? Where are all the people at? Where are the children at? Where are the sons and daughters of the house? What happened to the power that used to explode from the buildings that housed the church? Y'all don't hear me in here. What went on? Where did we lose it? Where did we drop the ball? What is really, where are the people at? Lord, have mercy. May I suggest that in a world where Satan is pushing a doctrine, and I'm just going, trying to stay focused here, amen. May I suggest that in a world where Satan is pushing a doctrine in the workforce, in the school systems, in the entertainment industry that says do what you like, do what feels good, you only live once, it's up to you. With us Christians, is it possible with us Christians not walking this thing out for real, we are setting our children, grandchildren, and unsaved family members up, unsaved family members and friends, maybe we are setting them up for failure. See, because Satan is being real about what he's pushing, and the unbelievers are being real about not believing. But what I want to ask you today is, are you living as real about God as the unsaved are living for Satan? Are you, Lord, have mercy. Are you living for God as real as the unbelieved are living for Satan? Now, here's where it's critical, because it's real easy to say, of course I am. I'm in church, ain't I? Satan be in church. Demons be in church. So I want to ask you again, and watch this. This is not to shame you, but this is to sound the alarm that it is time for us to get it together. And the problem is that, and I really don't get this, I really don't understand. You know, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. You know, it's time to be honest with ourselves, because only until we become honest with ourselves, each person in here, each person in here, until we become honest with ourselves, so brutally honest with ourselves, we will always be broken. So let me ask it again. Are you living for God as hard as the unbelievers are living for Satan? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Are you pushing righteousness? Are you pushing righteousness as hard as the world is pushing unrighteousness? We know what the world is standing on, but does everyone in your world know what you are standing on? I'm going to ask you that again. Is everyone in your world, do they know what you're standing on? I know they know what you say, but do they consistently see you standing on it? I know you know how to say I'm blessed and highly favored. I know you know how to say God bless you. And I know you know how to say I'm going to be praying for you. And I know you know how to put the Bible on your work desk in front of everybody so everybody knows that you're saved. And I know everybody knows you go to the big church. And you know, I know all of that, but do they see you consistently standing on what you claim? Or do you have to use, are you one of those carnal Christians, immature, Candyland Christianity that sits back and say things like, God ain't done with me yet? How often are you having to apologize for your foolishness, though you've been in the Word of God? Whoop, hold up, wait a minute. You've been in church, but just because you're in church don't mean that you're in the Word of God. Can I just go ahead and ask a question in here and shame, tell the truth and shame the devil, and you in the house of the Lord, so you shouldn't be lying, but you definitely don't want to lie today and in here. How many of you read the Bible daily? Mm-hmm. Not a good ratio. The statistics that we just saw is deafening. It's frightening. But we claim we saved. Oh, let's just take it deeper. How many in the building is saved? Come on, don't lie. Don't be scared. Now keep your hands up. And how many of you read the Bible every day? Now what I'm trying to figure out is, if you don't read the Word, how do you know? How do you know you saved and you don't even know what the Word says? See, I could ask a question, but I won't embarrass people. I could ask a question something like, how many of you only read the Bible when you're in church? On the screens. And we're trying to figure out why this thing don't work for us. It does not work for us because we are not working it. In the rooms, they say it works if you work it. Oh, God, let me get back to my notes. Some of us in here today find ourselves perplexed, amen? We find ourselves perplexed. We find ourselves in a place where we would like to serve God. We would like to serve God. We would like to give him, we'd like to give him our everything. And the thought of living holy, it really makes sense, and it even sounds good. And I believe that if everyone in here could have a wand waved and abracadabra, we all just be righteous and holy. We would do it. Because truth being told, most days we feel like we are missing something. Most days, we're off and we can't seem to figure out. We can't seem to figure it out. And our kids are suffering because of it. Marriages are suffering because of it. The job isn't fulfilling because of it. And I want you to know that it will never be right and it will never feel right and it will never bring you joy until we first get it right with him. Your love life will not be right until your love life is right with God. And being holy, it sounds good. I want to dance like the rest of them when they dance. I want to be able to have the joy First Lady got, even though 4 years we didn't even know if she was going to live to see today. I want to shout like her. I want to I want to be in a wreck last night and be able to jump up and press past the pain because the Spirit of the Lord is so deep down on the inside of me. But I don't want to go through the sacrifice. And here's the scary part. Here's the sad part. And all through the Word of God, he promises things like in Isaiah 54 and 10, he promises things like, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love and kindness for you will never be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. We struggling, but he's saying things. He's promising things like in Isaiah 41:10. He says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Lord, have mercy. That ought to just bless somebody right there. So ain't you tired of being scared? Ain't you tired of being worried? Ain't you tired of being concerned that you can't even enjoy yourself? Food don't taste like it's supposed to taste. The car don't feel as good riding in it as it used to. The house just don't bring you joy no more because you're scared. Ain't nothing like being scared. You understand what I'm saying to you? And some of you angry, but that's a front, because when you find an angry person, you usually find a scared person. And he says, you don't have to fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Somebody should have lost their mind right there, because you're going through a little bit of hell. And God came to tell you today that you ain't got to worry about it, because I'm going to hold you, Lord, have mercy, with my righteous right hand. In John 10:10, Jesus tells us something crazy. He says, listen, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You understand what I'm saying to you? So we're trying to figure out why we're walking around in lack when the Messiah has promised us a life of abundance. But the problem is, we don't know what abundance looks like, because society has taught us that we ain't got abundance if we ain't got some money. We ain't got abundance if we ain't got a Benz. We ain't got abundance if we ain't got a big house. We ain't got abundance if the clothes ain't name brand. But baby, I want you to understand that when you've got the peace of God dwelling deep down on the inside of you, you can be broke, busted, and disgusted, but have a smile on your face, have a praise in your spirit, have a yes, Lord, in any instance, because you know he's good. Hallelujah. We're trying to figure out why we're struggling. I don't get it. When he assures us with promises like Jeremiah 29:11, when he says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. You hear that? Says the Lord, not says pastor, not says Oprah, not says Dr. Phil, not says your doctor that you got your HMO with and your insurance with, but thus says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. If you could just stop being scared, if you could just stop being scared, if you could just stop being worried, if you could just stop believing the enemy over the promises of God, you wouldn't have to walk around scared. You wouldn't have to walk around broken. You wouldn't have to walk around suspect and concerned about every little tick and turn that you need to make. You understand what I'm saying to you? God said that I will be with you, and the plans that I got for you are not plans of disaster, but the plans that I have is to give you a future and a hope. And some of you need a future and a hope, because the past and the present ain't been much of nothing, but God promises that what's on the way, Lord, have mercy. What's on the way? He promises. He calls us children, and he calls us children in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. He calls us children. He says, and because we are his children, Lord, have mercy, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us, Lord, have mercy, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. You know what that means? That means that, watch this, everything that Jesus got, we got. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all should have lost your mind right there. I don't care what your bank account say. God says you rocking with royalty. You understand? That explains a whole lot, don't it, Pastor Gross? That explains why you broke and ain't never had nothing, but your taste is expensive. The reason why that is because you connected to royalty. You the king's son. You the king's daughter. Y'all don't hear me up in here. Some of you trying to figure out why you got to drive what you drive, why you got to live in what you live, because you understand that you was fearfully and wonderfully made. You was made for the Benz, baby, not for the Beetle. Oh, y'all don't hear me up. Romans, in Romans 8 and 15, he tells us that we're children. He says, watch this. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's spirit. When he, what? He adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. He promises, watch this, he promises access to him. He promises us access to him in Romans 5 and 2. It says, through him we also have access by faith into this remarkable state of grace in which we firmly and safely and securely stand. Watch this. He didn't say shakingly. He didn't say spooked. He didn't say disgruntled. He didn't say, skidded out of our minds. He says, we are firmly and safely and securely standing. Let us rejoice in our hope and the confident assurance, experiencing and enjoying the glory of our great God, the manifestation of his excellence and power. When you get to a place in God, it don't make no never mind what's going on around you, because we are in the world, not of the world. So they could be going to hell in a handbasket, and it ain't got nothing to do with me, baby. They could be losing their mind all around me. They was crying about gas. I was pumping gas in my car. You understand what I'm saying to you? They crying about inflation, but I was buying groceries like I had big food stamps. You understand what I'm saying to you? They it don't make no never mind what it is that you're going through when you're in the presence of God, because hell is happening around me. But all I can see is his excellence. All I can see is his glory. All I can see is for him coming through for me again, and coming through for me again, and coming through for me again. All I see is the excellence of God. The Bible, I don't understand why we struggle sometimes, because the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3 and 12 that because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Can I just go ahead and talk to the ex-stripper? Can I just go ahead and talk to the ex-prostitute? Can I just go ahead and talk to the ex-dope fiend? Can I just go ahead and talk to the ex-alcoholic? Can I just go ahead and talk to the ex-homosexual? Can you understand what I'm saying to you? Baby, you ain't got to tiptoe up on God. God says, I love you. I died for you, for I so love the world. He didn't say the church. He said, I so love the world. Lord, have mercy. So you ain't got a tip-top power on him. You can walk confidently, because I trust in the God that I serve, that he's got a mercy that I need. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Oh, God, I'm so gone off God. I'm so gone off God, because he loved and he loves us, and he promises to love us. In Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 5, it says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave, Lord, have mercy, he gave his life when he raised Christ from the dead. Watch this. It is only by God's grace that we have been saved. 1 John 4 and 9, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. 1 John 4 and 19, we love him because he first loved us. Isn't that amazing? We didn't have to do nothing for him. In fact, we wasn't doing nothing for him. If we was doing anything for him, we was displeasing him. If we was doing anything for him, we was upsetting him. We was quenching the spirit. We was vexing his spirit. You understand what I'm saying to you? But even in the midst of all of that, his love was so strong that he was pushing it to the side, the hell that we was going through. I got family members that claim to love me, but let me operate wrong. I got family members that claim to have my back, but let me call on them. But this God that I serve, it don't make no never mind what I've done. Oh God, you don't hear me up in here. He says he loves me, that while I was in the midst of my madness, he was still dying on the strength. You got anybody in your life that will die for you and watch this, die for you while you making a mockery of them? I dare not believe anything like that, but I bless God that he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So loved the world. Yeah, I know. He didn't say so loved the apostolic. so loved the world. He didn't say so loved the Pentecostal. He said so loved the world. He didn't say so loved the Baptist, the Presbyterian, the church, the tithers, head of the deacon board, those on the praise team, those that's got it together, those that ain't never sinned, those that speak in tongues, those that run around the building, those that shout, scream, snot, mess up your makeup, sweat out your perm. He didn't say, no. He said, for he so loved the world. I love when I'm trying to get out of here. When he said something to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you remember he was talking to the tax collectors and he was talking to the sinners, and they said, and they began to think to themselves, because they wasn't man enough to say it to him. They began to think to them, what type of man there would, how he's supposed to be a man of God, but he's talking to the people that he's talking to, and God, and the Bible says that Jesus perceived what they were saying in their minds, and he said, let me tell you something. I come for the sick. I don't come for the righteous, I come for the sick. You understand what I'm saying to you? I didn't come for the suburbs, baby. I come for the projects and the trailer park. You understand what I'm telling you? I didn't come for those of you that's bougie and cute and feel like you don't need me. I came for the ones that know that they got some things going on. I didn't come for those that don't need me. You know the sophisticated. I didn't come for the overly educated. So they got it together that they so don't need me. I didn't come for them. He said, because those that ain't sick don't need no doctor. But I come for the ones that's seeking repentance. I'm come for the ones that's sick and tired of being sick and tired. I come for the ones that's tired of being depressed. I come for the ones that's tired of being broken. I come for the ones that's tired of the joke being on them. I come for the ones that can't help themselves. With all these assurances, with all of these promises, with all of this access to him, with all of this love for him, I must ask you to ponder the question, why are we not walking it out? Why are we not walking it out? Just think about this for just a quick second. As good as he's been to you, as good as he's been to all of us, Why are we not walking it out? Hey, you've been on my heart for days. The Lord said to tell you, I didn't mean for you to be sad. I didn't mean for you to be disgruntled. I don't mean for you to be broken. It wasn't supposed to go down like this. It wasn't supposed to happen. They weren't supposed to handle you like they did. But I want you to know that I'm your God. And I want to see you regain your joy. I want to see you put your every, and it's hard to trust because of what you've been through. But the Lord said, tell you that if you will trust in him, he'll bring you out. I don't have a clue. I don't know nothing. I don't know you. But the Lord has had you on my heart to tell you that it is not over. And And in fact, to answer this question, it's not going to always be like this. It is going to be better. You will set high. You will set high. You will be the first. You won't always be the last. You are not a failure. You are not a failure. Listen. I believe that many of us are not walking it out because we have integrated with the ways of the world so deeply and become comfortable in those ways that it is now a struggle to be sold out to God. Can I prove it? Everybody in here, I ain't gonna say everybody, but the majority of people in here got a show they know they shouldn't be watching. Now you ain't gonna go cuss nobody out. You ain't gonna steal nothing out of Kroger's. For the most part, you're going to do what you're supposed to do. But there's a time on a certain night at a certain time with a certain show that you take the guard down off your mind. The Bible says above everything else, guard your mind. guard your heart. Amen. But there is a time that the majority of people in here have a moment. It might not be a TV show. It might be a song that you listen to. It might not be a TV show or a song that you listen to. It might be some family members that you hang out with that you know just they just ain't got it together. And you take the guard down from your mind. And it's sin. Could it be that we've got so entangled in, watch this, that just a TV show will keep you out of the grace of God. And as a consequence, those watching us deem us hypocrites and want nothing to do with the church. Unity Worship Center and visitors alike, I would like to suggest that we are at the crossroads. I'm reading a book right now that in all honesty has backed me into a corner and forced me to deal with myself on where I am with God. And is my walk waning? And how serious am I about the Great Commission? Don't get this twisted now, because you know how people will do. Don't get this twisted. Jesus is still my everything. But the reason for the inner battle is more so because of how it is so easy as a pastor to get caught up with the business of the church, and the business of God can get neglected. Yeah. In this position right here, it's dangerous. Because we can spend all day, every day. We spend all day, every day in the business of the church. Oftentimes neglecting the business of God. I don't believe that any pastor sets out to have a small church that is in constant struggle financially, a membership that has yet to reach 100 after several years, nor to pastor of people who at times just seem like they don't not get it, just don't want it. I don't believe that any pastor dreams that way. Just as I don't believe any entrepreneur dreams to start a business that struggles for a few years and then just fizzles out. Nor does an athlete train to lose. Everyone wants to experience success, and it's no sin that the pastor wants to experience a bit of success as well. But for the people of God, it can be a true struggle walking this walk. Can I just be real with you today? Because most often, people are coming in the church fresh from the world and the world's mentality. And so when folk begin to hear the word, read the word for themselves, and study, they are hit with this reality that in order to be all the way in this thing, their entire way of thinking and living has to change. And that is not always easy as we'd like to make it seem sometimes. Because what has happened is we have to let go of everything that we held dear to us that was in the world. And if we just being real, we didn't dislike everything in the world. Even though it was wrong, it felt right. Even though it betrayed you, it started off good. And though the good didn't last, it was good enough to present you with a struggle when you try to really let it go. Isn't this the truth? Yeah. Many of us in here right now are struggling with some things that have not been faithful to us. But because the flesh connected to the feel good of it, walking away from it isn't as easy as we'd like to make it. If it was that easy, we'd walk away from it. So let me say this. I'm not condoning or advocating where you are, if that's where you are, but what I am saying is don't kill yourself about it. You have to be honest, brutally honest about where it is that you are, then decide that you're going to do something about it. Watch this. And the decision makes no difference. It has no power until you commit to the decision. That is the problem with the church. Everybody has made a decision. That's why you're sitting here. You decided to come to church. But the question is still out there is, have you committed to God and the church? And it's easy to say, yes, I've committed to God and the church. But does your action support what your mouth say? You see, here's where we are. And if, watch this. And if I'm being honest with you today, the problem with the Unity Worship Center, because I pastor Unity. I don't pastor nowhere else. Now, I pray for every church preaching Christ crucified, but my business is here. You understand what I'm saying to you? And if I'm being honest with you today, the problem at the Unity Worship Center, it's not money. We ain't got none, but that's not the problem. It isn't the number of people that we have. We don't have a whole lot, but that's not the problem. It isn't the location of the building. Most people can't see the building, but that's not the problem. The problem with the Unity Worship Center is we like Jesus, but we've yet to fall in love with him. This is the truth. This is the truth. The problem with the Unity Worship Center and possibly churches all across the land, because we don't see a whole lot of biblically saved people. We see a whole lot of people to go to church, but biblically saved people, we don't see a whole lot of. The problem is we like Jesus. Yeah, he's the bomb. He's pretty awesome, you know, but we don't love him. The problem is that we play Jesus like we play man. I keep saying that, don't I? So for many of us, Jesus has become a sugar daddy instead of a superpower. And I don't really want you, but you have what I need. I don't really want to be with you, but I'll lay up for a minute. And our issue is we come to church for the wrong reasons. Thus, since the reasons are wrong, we never reach God. As long as the relationship is good, we might not see folk. Oh, Lord. I don't care what pastor talking about. This is working out for me. Wish I would. What I look like waiting? Ain't nobody going to stay with nobody that wait. That's your problem. Ain't nobody going to stay with nobody that wait, won't wait. That's going to wait. You see what I'm saying to you? And then when that thing, doom, 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 as it's going to do, now we want God to come. Now we come in and we want God to take the pain away. But he took it away last time. Oh, God. And the time before that. And the time before that. And the time before that. And so now God says, you know what? I love you too much. Watch this. And you didn't fool God when you came back. When you started getting back, you didn't fool him. He just loved you. But then he loves you enough to where he says, you know what? I'm going to let you lay in this for a minute. Because I gave you your way, and that didn't work out for you. Now, and I thought by giving you your way, you'd learn what to ask for. but now I'm going to let you lay in it for a minute because last time I was in prison, the Lord gave me a word. The last 2 months of in prison, he told me to tell everybody that was leaving, look back. I know they tell you all the time, don't you look back. You just keep on moving, and all that's real good. But I wondered, why you keep telling me, tell people to look back. And then when it was my day to leave, the Lord said, look back. And I looked at it. I looked at the concrete floors and the steel seats and the steel tables. And I looked back, and somebody had left a tray over there, and it was a plastic brown tray, tan tray, a little bit of the color of my suit, and I looked back and I saw, you know, and I remember Wednesday mystery meeting, and I remember, you know, having to shower with shoes on, and I looked back. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I remember, you know, couldn't wait for Tuesday, because that's when they served the donut, and I looked back. And I remembered, you know, that you know, you wasn't going to eat after 5 o'clock if you didn't have some money on your books. And I looked back and I looked at the telephone and I remembered that the crazy bill that I ran up at somebody else's expense because I was just trying to connect with the outside world. And I looked back and my mail was short. My envelopes wasn't as big as the people that was around me when I was in the street because everybody had forgot about me while I was locked up. And I looked back. God wants us to have look back moments. Every now and again, you need to look back at that thing and remember what he brought you from so you won't be so quick to be so easy with your salvation, with your mindset, with your peace, with your heart, with your money, with your credit. Lord, have mercy. We admire Jesus, but we don't live for Jesus. We can tell everyone else about where they're messing up and needs to get it together. But the problem is when you're telling them that, they already know that you ain't got it together either. We have learned to dress up our mess with scriptures and fake smiles, but live nowhere near what the standard of God calls for. We are at a crossroads, and if we don't choose and choose wisely, we are going to mess this whole thing called life up. I'm in the process of reading this book, and as I was reading it yesterday afternoon, the conviction of the book brought the words crossroads to my mind. And so I looked that definition up, and it said crossroads is a point at which a crucial decision must be made that will have far-reaching consequences. Lord, have mercy. Man, this just blew my mind. You hear me? A point at which a crucial decision must be made. Let's stop right there. Now, the word crucial means decisive or critical, especially in the success or failure of something. How many of us in here feel like we are at a point in our lives where it is crucial, critical, and dependent upon how we begin to handle it from here on holds the success or failure of your life? How you choose to operate will deem if you experience joy or continued depression. If you will experience prosperity or continue on living in borderline poverty. I'm going to close with the focal scripture today because I want you to go home thinking about it. And my prayer is that you will really go home and think about this scripture, Deuteronomy 30 and 19, and we done. And I'm running late because we had an awesome testimony, so that's a good reason to be late. Don't worry about it. Cracker Barrel going to be open. Denny's going to be open. You put that oven on broil or whatever it is, low bake, you're going to be okay. Deuteronomy 30 and 19 says, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Lord, have mercy. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Now, you see that definition? When you go back to that definition of crossroads, a point at which a crucial decision must be made that will have far-reaching consequences. I want all of you in here to hear me and hear me well. How you are choosing to live your life from this moment on will affect how your children grow up, will affect how your grandchildren are touched by the gospel, will affect how your unsaved families and friends begin to look at Jesus, how you decide today. And you say, why today? What's so special about today? Because you heard it today. Yeah. You was cross town at church 2 years ago and you heard something like this and you didn't listen. Well, guess what? God loves you so much. He is not slack in his promise. He is coming back. But what he's trying to do is make sure that nobody perishes. What you choose today. And he says, and I call heaven and earth as witnesses. You can't say that you don't know. Every one of you in here, none of you can say that you don't know. It's not working out. It's crazy. It don't make sense. It don't work for me. I would suggest that you're not doing it right. What do you mean? How do you do the word right? By doing what the words say. That's it. There's no hocus pocus needed. There's no, three turnarounds and a shout necessary. Just do what the word says. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. Be grown, since you've grown, be grown enough to keep the word for real. There has been a cloud of witnesses. That means people before us that walk this walk for real. Let me bless you today. Don't think about your grandmama. Don't think about big mama. Don't you think about your daddy. Don't you think about people that you saw that was halfway in this thing. And I ain't knocking nobody's big mama, grandmama, daddy, or whoever else. But there's some people in the Bible that you could learn from. Lord, have mercy. Stop letting your heroes be people you could touch, people that you used to hug. But let your heroes be people that was in the word, tried and true, and came through pure as gold. That's why he gave us the Bible. He didn't give us the Bible. He didn't tell us about Enoch so that we can say, forget Enoch, I know Ernest. Forget Abraham, you know, saying, I know Abe. No, he gave us the scriptures and the people in the scriptures to give us a motivation to let us know that we too can walk this walk. Can walk this walk. We too. I bless God for those that came before me that walked this walk thing. I bless God. But I saw some things in people that I love. And that don't mean that they didn't get in. But the way that I look at it is I got enough on the inside of me that's messed up that I don't need to be taking folk that, you know, just about did it all right. Did a whole lot of it right. I mean, you know, they were saved. I mean, and she cussed you out, but she was saved. No, well, hold on. I mean, and she, you know, he hurts your feelings with the truth. Now, hold on. So he gave us this book to learn from people who did it right. Quit letting your examples and your motivation be, you know, folk that can be debated. Get in the Word of God. Let me say this. Grow up. Grow up. And walk this thing out. Stop having excuses about why you ain't saved and why you keep on doing what you're doing. Grow up. You was grown enough to make the decision to get in it. Be grown enough to make the decision to get out of it. Stand on it. Because there is a reward. I say this all the time and I'm done. I don't want to be 0-2 in my life. Lived in hell the whole time I was on this planet and then die and go to hell. That's a losing record. And guess what? You don't get to 2-0 without first being 1-0. Which means that we got to get this part right. You don't make it through the tournament, you don't get in the playoffs. You can't win. You can't win. You cannot win. And it's time. It's time that the blood-bought believer stops losing. It's time that the blood-bought believer stops being depressed. It's past time that the blood-bought believer is struggling on drugs. Can't keep our pants up, legs closed. It's come on, it's time. It's time. It's time to stop hitting and missing with this thing. Do you know that they wrote in the Bible, for God I live and for God I die? Do you know the seriousness of that? Listen to the mindset that they were saying. They said, for God I live and for God I die. Ernie, me and you used to be in the street together. Lord, have mercy. And we was ready to die for a whole lot less than God. We die over a dog. We die over some money. Die over a street. And nothing that we fought for, nothing that we was putting our lives on the line for. Bees, you know I'm telling the truth. Don't got nothing from it today. But mental scars. Mental scars and a whole lot of feeling bad. But these great people, woman of God, these great people said, for God I live and for God I die. And they were living in a time, Pastor Gross, where they literally died for God. How many of you in here would die for God today? Don't be quick to put your hands up. Don't be quick to put your hand. Die. Hang me upside down. Kill me. Throw me in with the lions. If it's my time, then I'll go. But if not, I'll be, I'll be on one side and the lions will be on the next, on the other side in the morning. If it's my time, throw me in the fire. Throw me in the fire. If it's my time. If it's my time, I will disintegrate. I will be ashes. But if not, I'm going to come out and I won't even smell like smoke. Some of us won't let folk go. And then we sit here and say, but I'll die for God. Some of us are stuck so deep in sin, but really believe that you would die for God. Won't kill the relationship that's killing you, but you're going to die for God. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Listen, if we have anybody in the building today, and this is what we're after. We're done with all this hocus pocus preaching, and not that we were ever doing that. But we're getting ready to double down on holiness and righteousness and salvation and sin and all of these things that we've been preaching for years. We're going to double down on it in hopes to see people come to the kingdom. Not in hopes, you know what, and I'm tired and I'm done. I'm done, Pastor Gross. I'm done worrying about the numbers. I'm done. I believe I've gotten free. I'm just going to preach Jesus. They can have the rat race. They can have the competition for numbers. I just want to see people come to Jesus. I'm tired. Leadership, ain't y'all tired? We rack our brains just every day of the week. What can we do? What will make them? Don't you know that whatever we come up with going to run out? What about when we can't buy no more coffee for the cafe? Now y'all go get that coffee from the cafe. But I'm saying, what about when we ain't? What about it when it draws them in, and when it draws them in, and then we run out of what drew them in? We're just going to preach Jesus. In fact, I believe Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. So we're just going to lift him up. Wasn't the song precious? They sung Psalms 23. And many of us couldn't dance to it. You could just stand there because you was in the presence of the word being sung. That's what this whole church should be operating on 24/7, the word of God, the word of God. Word of God. If there's anybody in the building today that has not given themselves over to our Lord and Savior, in other words, that he is not the head of your life and you know it. And listen, I don't care if you've been claiming saved for years, but the reality is you know you not. And today's the day that you want to give your life to Jesus. We offer you the invitation to come on down. Listen, I believe that the day of the faker is over. I believe that we used to be able to fake it and get away with it. And we never got away with it. We got away with it in front of man, but we never got away with it in front of God. But I believe that we're not even going to have peace in getting away with it in front of men no more. If you've not given your life to Jesus and you desire to be saved, we offer you the invitation to come down. Saved from what? Everybody talks about saved from hell. You know what you really better be concerned about being saved from? Saved from the wrath of God. We fail to talk about that. There is a wrath of God. I'm not as concerned with hell as I'm concerned with the wrath of God. Because I believe that God is more powerful than the enemy. So the wrath of God will be far greater than anything that the enemy can do to me. If there's anyone in the building today that says, listen, I was in a relationship, right relationship with God, and for whatever reason, I fell out of relationship, and today's the day that I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. We offer you the invitation to come on. Hallelujah. And listen, and don't be scared. And I know some of you done said, I done tried this before, and I done failed, and I'm just tired of doing that, and I'm tired of people seeing me continue to come down, and then I have to come down again. The Bible says that a righteous man, he falls 7 times, but he gets back up. Listen, come on down here. If you decide today, you know that you need to rededicate your life to Christ. If you've gotten away from him, if somehow, some way, the enemy has bled you, has lured you away from the Lord, we want you to come on down and rededicate your life today. Don't you put this off for tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised. We're learning that. We're dying, y'all. We're dying. Just like that. Just like that. Here today, gone an hour later. Here today, gone 20 minutes later. If you desire to rededicate your life to Jesus today, we offer you the invitation to come down. Listen, if there's some people in the building today that says, listen, I'm saved and I'm straight, but I just need prayer. We offer you the invitation to come down. We're going to pray for you corporately. I'm not laying hands today. I'm not laying hands. I'm just praying corporately. Hallelujah. Hey. The Bible says, praise the Lord. The Bible says that if you are faithful and that if you will confess your sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The fight of your life right now, this is greater than any fight that you've ever had. This is more serious than all the other fights. This fight means to take you out. This fight sees that it's losing. You might feel like it's winning, but the reality is it's not winning. The enemy is just desperate. So the enemy is doing everything he can. He has upped the ante. He has turned up the heat. He is sending everything at you that he can. And it is so critical. It is imperative that you stay the course this time. You have to stay the course. You have to not just stay over the media. You just can't just stay as one of the people that help in the church. But you have to stay the course. You have to stay the course. This is a fight that you cannot afford to lose. This is a fight you cannot afford. There is consequences behind this loss. There is Lord, y'all hear me today? There is consequence behind this loss. Eternal consequences. And not just for you. The Bible says, choose ye this day whom you gonna serve. He says, I put before you the heavens and the earth so that you, he says, and please choose life. Please choose life. I put life and death, blessings and curses, and please choose life so that you and your descendants, so that you and Lamaya, so that you and London, so that you and Cali can live. So that your grandchildren can live. So that your great-grandchildren can live. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we come here today thanking you for all things. We thank you because you are a great and awesome God, and you told us in your word that if we would confess our sins, that you would be faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Do you confess your sins today?
Yes.
Do you rededicate your life to Jesus today?
Yes.
Father, we thank you that you made it so simple, yet so serious, that all we have to do is confess them and the cleansing has already happened. And you told us that you take our sins and they're thrown into the sea as far as from the east to the west that you remember them no more. God, I thank you that you're a God that does not take score, does not hold a record of our wrongs and losses and the dropping of the ball. God, I thank you that when you forgive us for real. And we thank you for this woman of God. And we decree and declare right now in the name of Jesus, supernatural power over her life, that she might be able to come up against every attack that comes up against her, that when the enemy comes up against her, that she will remember that greater is he that is in her than what's in the world. We speak, decree, and declare right now in the name of Jesus, supernatural victory over Alicia's life. And we thank you, God. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. We're praying. All here for prayer.